Dave and Darren. About to drop some science like Galileo dropped the orange. This is Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done, some of what we got done.
Some of it.
Yeah, this is the top 5 things. There were other things that happened.
That were next to it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some honorable mentions that you don't get to hear. You want to hear the whole thing, you got to listen live weekday mornings on Planet 93.9. But what this is really a much more digestible form of the show that we hope you enjoy. And we thank our sponsors, Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. If you'd like to take a look, frequently asked questions are answered at the website, ntillinois.com.
Number one.
Number one.
You're familiar with the term ghosting, right? That's when a relationship ends just out of nowhere. Like you're with somebody, and then out of nowhere, there's no explanation. They don't call, they don't text, they don't
and
write.
And this could be any kind of relationship.
Yeah, it's a personal relationship. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it could be a friendship.
Yeah.
It could be a romantic relationship. When out of nowhere, you just don't hear from the person forever, that's called...
Business relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure. It seems like, though, you hear this more in terms of romantic relationships, where you're with someone and then out of nowhere, you're just not. And it's not a breakup. It's not saying, hey, you're terrific, but I need to move on and do something else. You don't even give him that courtesy.
No, you didn't. It didn't rise to that level.
Right. It's just... We're just done. And I've decided we're done.
Figure it out.
We're so done that I'm not even going to tell you that we're done.
Right.
Because that's how done we are. Right? I guess that's the perspective of the ghost in the ghosting scenario. What would be the point of telling you that we're done? That's how done we are.
Yeah. Not even a text.
Ghosting is a term that's come about in the not too distant past. It's a pretty recent term, although... it's been around forever, right?
Couldn't you do that with at least a text, just one word, done?
I think that wouldn't be ghosting.
I know it. No, it wouldn't be ghosting.
No, but it would be effective. If you just...
Pretty quick.
Right, but here's the thing. If you text done, then you're going to get a text back. Like, what are you talking about? You don't want that. You don't want to talk to them anymore.
No, I get it. I understand. It's a
pretty harsh thing to do to somebody.
No, it's people being children.
There's a woman in England who has been ghosted, and she's in the news. And what's unusual about the ghosting that took place in this case, she's a 38-year-old woman, and she's in a relationship with a ghost.
Well, that's different.
Her ghost lover, Eduardo, has ghosted her. After she told everybody about their relationship.
Oh.
She's having a love affair with a ghost.
How's that love affair with the ghost going?
She says, we're...
It's not happening. Ghosted.
I've been ghosted...
by a ghost.
By a ghost.
Should have saw that coming, though, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how does that not eventually happen?
Brocarde, a singer and songwriter from Oxfordshire over there in England, talks about her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, Eduardo. She claims her spiritual lover is giving her the cold shoulder, which she believes is punishment for telling the world about their relationship.
Well, a cold shoulder, that's the only option I have. I'm a ghost.
She says, I truly feel like I'm being ghosted by a ghost. Eduardo seems furious with me since I've gone public with our romance. He's gone completely cold. Usually his presence surrounds me with warmth, but now a cold breeze follows me around the
house.
Yeah,
that's a ghost.
or it's that time of year and maybe you need to put some stuff in your windows.
Yeah, maybe close your windows.
Mm-hmm. She says he's costing me a fortune in heating. Even well. even with the fire roaring and the thermostat on full blast, it's like the Antarctic. I've had to resort to sleeping in a ski suit and bobble hat. And when he touches me, it feels like shards of ice piercing my soul. There's an unsettling vibe, she says, all over the house. which is like death. Maybe, she says, I'm just dead to him. Her lover became Frosty.
No, he's dead to you.
Dead to all of us.
Right.
Eduardo's dead to all of us. She went on one of those morning shows over in the UK and talked about how she had a ghost lover.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as she got home from her appearance on the show over there called This Morning.
That was it.
She says, I don't think he approved, as the words, I'm gone, appeared in the steam on the shower door that evening.
There you go. Gone. Done.
So Eduardo did kind of what you suggested.
Yeah.
He can't text. He's a ghost.
So this isn't ghosting at all.
Well, maybe it is.
No. He left a message.
She also says the ghost is becoming physically aggressive towards her.
Which is it?
I can sense his anger. I felt myself being pushed across the room, and he's pushed me to the floor on one occasion. I've tried to communicate with him via candlelight, but he no longer flickers the flame. It just blows out.
This is a different type of ghosting. I'm confused.
As Halloween gets nearer, she says she's determined to win back her spirit lover's affections.
How do you do that, though? How do you go about that?
Well, first of all, if this guy's being physically aggressive with you, that's not a boyfriend you want.
Yeah, you might need to call the authorities.
Ghost or no ghost, don't put up with that. She says, quote, Halloween is like Valentine's Day for spirits. So I'm going to write a song and perform it to Eduardo on the evening of Halloween. I'm going to light 100 candles and scatter rose petals. I may even cook him some typical Victorian dishes to win back his heart.
Boy, I don't know, this might scare him off for
maybe
good.
Some sheep's trotters or a boiled calf's head, if I can find that at my local supermarket. If not, I'll have to stick to something more simple, like a stew or a soup.
Or maybe just microwave
Although
something.
I fear it'll pass straight through him, she says.
My stew just goes through people.
Well, ghosts. It goes through ghosts, especially. She says, either way, I'll be sure to get the drinks in. He seems like the kind of ghost who would enjoy a glass of port.
You're going to try to get the ghost drunk?
Her and Eduardo first connected when he revealed himself one night while she was struggling to sleep due to a thunderstorm. She says it was alarming at the beginning because I didn't even know it was happening. She added the excitement caused her to feel a burning sensation in her heart. Maybe that was the heartburn. What did you have to eat before the thunderstorm? Oh, you know.
Just some sheep trotters. Sheep trotters gave me the, you know what.
I was just eating a couple of cloves of garlic. I don't see what the problem is. She says, despite being ghosted by her lover, she does not regret her decision to go public with their romance. Quote, I don't think any man should control your emotions or decisions, even a ghost. I was trying to make sense out of this series of paranormal events, and talking about it has helped me, but I wanted to have some sort of conclusion, so I hope he has more to say. Initially, I thought he could be trapped between two worlds and wanting to get a message to the world, but after his reaction, maybe he thrives off secrecy and privacy and wants me all to himself.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You need to move out of that house. She kind of looks like a ghost. Like, maybe she's a ghost. Maybe that would make sense.
She looks like a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't put up with any ghost trying to put his hands on me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put up with that. And, or her. Like, if I had, like, a ghost girlfriend,
and
I'm going to be clear here. I made my way through the 80s and 90s with a string of imaginary girlfriends. That's different. That's a different thing than a ghost girlfriend. My imaginary girlfriend.
Would have loved to have had a ghost girlfriend.
Oh, that would have been the best. Are you kidding me? I could have used that. But if it was an actual ghost, you got to move. If the ghost is to the point where it's touching you and
pushing you to the ground,
and I got to feed it, I got to make a meal for a ghost. No, we're not doing this.
And essentially, that just means, now, what does that look like? That just looks like you pouring stew on the floor.
Yeah, for the ghost to enjoy. Lap it up, Casper. Sorry, Eduardo.
Don't call me Casper.
How does he know that she went on television? Did she leave the TV on in the house? All right, Eduardo, I'm going to be on the telly. I'm going to leave it on the channel here. How would the ghost even know that she went and blabbed about it?
Well, the ghost can be anywhere at once.
Is that how that works? Because then it seems like he's trapped in that house.
Mm.
Ghosts can't go wherever they want, can they?
That's a good point.
Because then why didn't he leave? Like, I'm on to find the next one. You and your big mouth, you've caused me to ghost you.
Two.
The story continues to insist upon itself. It will not die. Watching the Bear game on Sunday when Tom Brady throws his 600th touchdown.
Yeah. That is known as the Bears. Yes.
The Bears.
So he throws it. Mike Evans, the wide receiver, takes it into the end zone and then promptly hands the football over to a fan.
Yeah.
And then they realize, no, you shouldn't have done that. That's a big deal.
How do I know? I don't keep track of how many touchdowns he's thrown.
So they traded with him. They worked out a deal. The fan who got the ball handed to him is one Brian Kennedy, 29-year-old Packers fan.
A Packers fan?
Or Buccaneers fan, sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
I'll let you down. He's a Buccaneers fan. We were just talking
about it. It's bad enough that the Bears got beat. Now the Packers are getting involved. they really do own us.
He's a 29-year-old Buccaneers fan who was recording the historic 600th touchdown pass when Mike Evans walked up to him and gave him the ball. It was a surprise.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute. He's coming this way.
What's going on here?
I got the ball.
So Mike Evans gives him the ball. Now it's his ball. And then they realize that's Tom Brady's 600th touchdown. We're going to need that because that needs to go to the Hall of Fame.
See, I would have had that already. I had had that thing punctured by then.
And by the time they said, okay, we need that back, we'll work something out with
uh-huh.
you. We're getting now the details as to what he was able to get out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He got some season tickets, didn't he?
He got two signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady.
Okay, so three autographs.
He got one signed Mike Evans jersey and signed game cleats from Mike Evans. He was also given $1,000 to the Buccaneers team store, two season tickets for next year, this year and next year.
The remainder of this year and next.
And he was given one Bitcoin.
Wow.
Yeah. And there are people saying, even with all of that, this guy got hosed.
Well, he can sell the jerseys.
A guy who does this... sports memorabilia for a living, the founder of something called Golden Auctions, Ken Golden. He says that the football, Tom Brady's 600th touchdown football, could easily go for $900,000. It's worth anywhere from $500,000 to $900,000.
Well, so could that Bitcoin someday.
Yeah, I just don't know. He says, well, look at it this way. If you compare it to how much a 500 home run baseball gets on the open market, okay? When you do the math and you look at 500 home run baseball, somebody catches somebody's 500 home run.
Mm-hmm.
There are 28 members of the 500 home run club in the universe.
Okay.
So there are zero people in the NFL that have thrown for 600 touchdowns.
Yes.
So he says, just looking at that math, $500,000 to $900,000 is probably what that ball is worth. Brady said, we'll get him something nice. It was cool of him to give it back. Brady also says, I don't collect stuff from my career. I don't have any use for it. It goes to the Hall of Fame in Canton.
I wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't want it. There's just too much.
He's happy, Brian Kennedy, the guy that caught the football, he says he's happy that the ball is back in the possession of his rightful owner, despite the fact that he gave up $500,000. He was also able to take several pictures of himself with the ball before he gave it back to the Buccaneers. He says, I know how much it meant to Tom, and I was willing to
trade. It sounds like
it
didn't mean anything. He just said he didn't care.
I don't collect stuff.
Why would you?
How long I've been playing?
You know how much if I just collected one thing from every season?
Right. You think Giselle's going to let me put another jersey in a frame and put it on the wall? Everybody gets that I'm Tom Brady in my house.
And by the way,
no one's impressed by it.
And by the way, you are going to get the evening with Giselle by the suggestion of Tony Romo.
Tony Romo wouldn't let that go. So is this a good deal? That's what people are arguing about.
Not only did I get a night with Giselle, I got a night with Tony Romo's wife. He was willing to throw that in.
You don't go.
And here are some Skechers.
You don't go to a football game hoping to make $500,000, right?
Well, like, unless you've gambled on it.
What I'm saying is, as a fan, he was handed something that was worth a lot of money, and he got. When you look at what he got, in addition to watching the Buccaneers absolutely de-pants the Bears.
A team that is known as the Bears.
Now, let me ask you this. The Mike Evans stuff that he got.
Yeah.
Is that probably more valuable now than ever? It's like, I'm going to get rid of that stuff.
Go ahead and move the Mike Evans stuff.
I'm going to move that stuff. This is the stuff from that I got when, you know, because of the 600 pass. The Brady stuff I'll hang on to for a little while, maybe. See what the market goes for that.
It's a lot of stuff.
Because I'd be moving that stuff quick.
Yeah.
Hang on to the Bitcoin.
$1,000 to the Buccaneers team store. What do you do with that?
I'd sell it to somebody for $900.
There you go.
Here's you. Who wants this $1,000 for $900? It's yours.
Number three.
So this guy in Colorado goes for a hike, and he gets lost. The highest mountain in all of Colorado, I guess, is Mount Elbert. They got plenty of mountains there. So to hike on the tallest is quite something else. The guy was reported missing after he failed to return to where he was staying. So then the search and rescue teams go out. They attempted to call this guy. They texted him. They called him. They left him a bunch of voicemail messages.
Where are you?
All of these messages go ignored. 5 rescue team members were deployed at 10 o'clock at night to search in what they call a high probability areas there of Mount Elbert. And they came back at 3 in the morning. They hadn't found him. They're looking all over. The next morning, they go out again. They get back at 3 in the morning. They go out at 7 a.m. to search for areas where hikers typically lose the trail. And while they're out on that second search, they discover that this guy had made his way back to his place of lodging. Sometime around 9:30, he walks back into his hotel room, right?
I don't take calls when I hike.
It's better than that. It's better than that. His answer is, well, I didn't recognize the number.
I don't answer these
calls. I don't answer phone calls from people I don't know. He said he lost his way around nightfall and bounced around on different trails trying to locate the proper trailhead.
And I found it.
Then he reached his car the next morning, 24 hours after setting out on the hike. He said he had no idea people were out looking for him. And he ignored the repeated phone calls from the search and rescue people because he didn't recognize the number.
Figured you guys were trying to sell me something.
Right? What am I going to get, a car warranty?
No.
Like, well, my phone rings and it's from a part of the state that I don't recognize, right? I got a phone call from Algona, Iowa the other day. I got a call from, like, Decatur, Illinois. I don't know anybody in Algona or Decatur. So it just goes to voicemail, and more often than not, it's a recorded message saying, you know, that if I don't call them back, they're going to be forced to sue me. Some sort of weird computer voice, right? You've dealt with those, too.
Now, if you were out lost and hiking, would you answer that call?
I'd be thrilled that someone called. Yes. Hello?
Or why wouldn't you just call someone? I don't need any help. I'll figure this out.
I guess that's it. I guess he figured I'm not that lost.
No.
Just because I didn't make it back in time to stay where I'm staying.
I think I'm going in the right direction. I mean, I stopped going up, so I figure.
It says if you're overdue, according to your itinerary, and you start getting repeated calls from an unknown number, please answer the phone. It may be a search and rescue team trying to confirm you're safe. Sure.
Did you tell me that before I took off? I didn't see that.
Or you could be somebody trying to sell me an extended warranty for my vehicle. More than 32 hours were dedicated looking for this guy. And now...
I'm not paying for that. I didn't ask for that.
Lake County Search and Rescue responded over a Facebook poster. They say, please remember that what seems like common sense in hindsight is not obvious to a subject in the moment when they're lost and panicking. It doesn't sound like this guy was panicking.
No.
Sounds like he was cool like a cucumber in a bowl of hot sauce. He says, in Colorado, most folks who spend time outdoors have a good understanding of the search and rescue infrastructure that is there to help them, but it is not the case nationwide. You know, if this was a local, we wouldn't have to deal with this. I just didn't recognize the number. If you were lost and you had cell service...
I didn't consider myself lost.
I guess you weren't
not that lost.
I guess because you weren't that lost.
Number
four.
Google has their Frightgeist, is what they call it. It's where they take all of the information what people are looking up on Google for Halloween costumes.
Uh-huh.
And then they're able to tell you nationally what the most searched for costumes are and locally. Like I can tell you in the Quad Cities that the number one costume that people are searching for whatever reason, is rabbit. Animals make up 11% of all costume searches.
Well, it sounds like a comfortable, warm Halloween outfit.
That's what it is, you think. It's very comfortable to go as a rabbit.
Close to a squirrel.
The number one most searched for costume this year is witch. That's across the country. Here in the Quad Cities, it's rabbit. Witch, though, the most popular overall. And with witch, you have a couple of different choices. Apparently, a lot of this is people that are going as some of the witches from WandaVision, the TV show, came out last year. Also, people... going as witches from the movie Hocus Pocus, which gets more and more popular each year. That's with Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy Najimy and Bette Midler. You ever seen that movie?
I know of it.
Right. That's what a lot of people are going at is witch across the country. Witch does pretty well here locally as well. This is nationally. Witch is number one, rabbit number two, Dinosaur number three, Spider-Man number four, and then Cruella de Vil comes in at number five. Cruella de Vil. We've talked about how the Squid Game is going to be making a big appearance, but not as big. It's made a meteoric rise in the last couple of weeks, but it's just number 23 total in terms of searches.
Now, did you see, I just saw the headline where the guy who made Squid Game replied to the fact that LeBron James didn't care for the way the show ended.
Oh, I didn't see that. Tell me.
That's all I know. I just saw the headline.
He responded how?
I don't know. I don't know if he was like, yeah, it is what it is, LeBron. I didn't care for the way you played in Game 7.
Well, you don't know that maybe he was honored that LeBron said something.
Well, I mean, LeBron watched it.
Squid Game creator responds to LeBron James' criticism of the ending, saying maybe he could make his own sequel.
Is that the Space Jam?
He says LeBron James is cool and he can say what he wants. LeBron James didn't care for the ending. Yeah, I didn't either. I'm with LeBron James on this.
There you go.
When asked about what he thought about LeBron James, he says, well, James is cool and can say what he wants. He respects his opinion and is very thankful that he watched the whole series, but he's going to have to agree to disagree with the NBA star. Quote, I wouldn't change the ending. That's my ending. If he has his own ending that would satisfy him, maybe he can make his own sequel. I'll check it out and maybe send him a message saying I liked your whole show, except for the ending. See how you like it.
You mean Space Jam the Legacy? How does that end?
I haven't seen Space Jam. There's no reason for them to do a second season. They leave the door open for a second season of Squid Games. that they don't need to. That was what the NBA superstar said he didn't like about the season one finale.
That it left it open for season two?
Well, because at the end, the character has a choice to make. And the choice he makes is the choice that both I and LeBron James are saying. What are you doing? Why would you do that? The guy who made Squid Game says the stress of making the game, and I keep calling him the guy that made the show. I should say his name. His name is Hoang Dong-hyuk. And he says the stress was so much during making the series that six of his teeth fell out of his mouth.
What?
He says the process of producing the show was physically, mentally, and emotionally draining.
And he wants to do it again?
I don't know that he does. I think he left it open for a season two. Why would you do that again?
If your teeth are falling out of your head, that's some severe stress.
He says he's not that rich following the show's breakout success. Quote, I do have enough. I have enough to put food on the table.
Well, not LeBron James rich.
And it's not like Netflix is paying me a bonus. Netflix paid me according to the original contract.
Yeah, we don't play that game.
Yeah. Yeah. He says if he does a sequel, he'd like to be as rich as the winner of the Squid Game.
All right. If anybody tells you that they're a little bit stressed, ask if their teeth are falling out of their head.
Have you had six teeth fall out of your mouth?
Then you're not that stressed.
Because that's what the guy that did Squid Game had to go through.
Consider yourself lucky.
That's what I'm going to do, Darren. I'm going to black out all my teeth. And when people ask me what I am,
the creator of Squid Game?
That's my costume this year. I'm going to take a marker to six of my teeth. And when people say, what are you supposed to be? I'll say, I'm Wang Dong-hyuk. Creator of Netflix's Squid Games. I think I could pull this off. I basically look like the dude anyway. With the glasses and the hair. Yeah. No, I think this is what I'm going to do. That's my costume this year.
Can't wait to see it.
Well, you'll see it this Saturday night.
Five.
Number five.
Guy saved thousands of dollars by eating every meal at Six Flags.
What?
He's documenting it all on his YouTube channel. This guy saved thousands of dollars. His name is Dylan. And he has been living the dream. There's a loophole, apparently, in the season pass that this guy found.
Yeah.
What you do is you buy a season pass to Six Flags.
Okay, check.
This was at Six Flags Great America.
Yeah.
He bought a season pass, which is $64.99. Then when you buy your season pass at Six Flags Great America,
yeah,
they have season pass add-ons.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at that, you'll find dining options.
Okay.
Great America has a pass for two meal season dining, which is lunch, dinner, and a snack for $109.99.
Okay.
So all told, it's $174.98 a year.
Yeah.
For lunch and dinner and a snack?
For two?
For two.
So, double up.
Yeah. This guy has mastered the all-you-can-eat special. 33-year-old electrical engineer spent like $150 to get that year-long membership to Six Flags that included also, you know, unlimited roller coaster rides and free parking and two free meals a day.
But he just goes there for the meals, typically.
He's been doing it for 6 years.
And they didn't stop him?
And he estimates that he's had 2,000 meals at Six Flags, spending about 50 cents per meal.
Now, he lives right by it.
He must.
I mean, I can see the roller coaster from my apartment.
He says through his savings on food over the years,
yeah,
he was able to pay down his student loans, get married and buy a house.
And they don't put a stop to it.
No, I guess not. He's doing it for years. When this thing started, the menu was just burgers and fries and pizza.
Yeah.
But then over time, they started to do things like tri-tip sandwiches and carne asada salads and vegan options.
But still.
Yeah.
Still a limited menu.
Yeah, you're eating carnival food is what you're eating. He says, I used to get so sick of those chicken balls.
I bet.
I'd estimate I got them around 150 times.
Uh-huh.
And at five per meal,
yeah,
that's 750 chicken balls.
Oh, yeah, he's done the math.
I don't know that I could ever eat them again.
Well, I don't know that I'm ever going to be a Great America again.
Yeah.
But if I am, I'm going to try the chicken balls.
Well, now that this is out there, now that this guy is bragging about how he got one over on Six Flags.
It's over.
Yeah. Now they're changing it so that you have to get a Diamond Elite membership at Six Flags.
Yeah, that would be.
To get the best deal on food.
Yeah.
And that's no longer all you can eat.
Yeah.
It's 50% off almost food and drink.
Yeah.
And that's $505 a year, not 150.
Yeah.
This guy would have kept his mouth shut.
Well, he wanted to go viral. He wanted to get... And maybe he's done.
I can see after 6 years having like, every lunch and dinner.
I've done the savings. Right. It's over. I'm the one who's pulling the plug on this. I can't do those chicken balls again.
I got so sick of the chicken balls. I don't know that I've ever heard of chicken balls.
I don't know that I have either.
I'm assuming it's a chicken nugget that's spherical in shape.
Yeah, just like a chicken meatball, I guess.
Ooh.
But still, if you eat 700 of them.
750, friend. Chicken meatballs. Okay.
Yeah, just chicken meatballs.
I don't know. These look delicious.
Oh, I'm sure they're fine for, you know, if you have them a few times.
Well, as a snack.
Yeah.
Not to sustain myself to pay off my bills.
No.
Well, congratulations, man. It was a good run while it lasted. He must have decided enough was enough.
I'm done. And I'm married. My wife wants to have a meal with me.
At some point, yeah.
She's not here.
She made it clear that I need to quit taking her to Six Flags for lunch and dinner and snacks.
She's pregnant.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I thoroughly enjoyed all of that. Thanks for downloading it, listening to it, subscribing to it, and leaving reviews. All of it. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for sponsoring Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles, and more. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and also on Instagram.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad City.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Good day to you. We're done.